Greetings in Christ's name this morning. God's Spirit has been at work this morning. Marvin Peachy opened with the fact that God does not give us a spirit of fear. And I admit, I have been struggling with fear all week long. Some of that is what brought together the topic that I want to look at this morning. But God doesn't give us a spirit of fear. And so if I'm fearful this morning, it's not of God. And I want to overcome that. I want to have God's spirit of love. As we read that perfect love casteth out fear. Part of my fear comes from experience in my own life. So often, where I lived so much of my life, I lived a formality. I went to church. I listened to the preacher. I judged the preacher. And part of my fear is the fear of being vulnerable, of sharing, of bearing my heart and sharing something. And the thought that years past in my life, I would have sat there and judged me. So pray for me this morning. I want to not have a spirit of fear. I was discussing with a friend recently some challenges that he and I were both facing. Young men, raising families, been Christians for quite a few years. I gave my heart to the Lord 16 years ago. It seems like I would have more things figured out. And he asked me the question, I made the comment, I said, why are we so hesitant to share with our brothers, to bear our hearts and be open and be vulnerable? He said, well, why are you scared? I said, well, I'm afraid. We go to accountability meetings, we sit together, and we do everything we can. I'm speaking for myself here, I've been this way way too many times. We sit there and we are scared to admit we have a struggle. Through my years growing up in the Mennonite circles, I've seen way too many people stand up and confess failure, but not confess struggle. I want to look at the fact this morning that we are at war. The title of the message this morning is We Are at War. Have you ever stopped and watched a baby sleep? I have three, and we're thankful for a fourth coming. I don't know about you, I enjoy watching them sleep. Last night, I was having trouble sleeping. I got up, I went into the boys' bedroom, and I watched my boys sleep. They are so innocent. Just peace. Have you ever longed for that innocence again? We're born innocent. One day we recognize where we are before God, who we are before God. And we might fight that for a while. We might fight that for the rest of our life. Those of us sitting here this morning, many of us gave our hearts to the Lord. We entered a war that has been raging ever since Satan declared that he would be as the Most High. A spiritual war, a war not fought with our physical bodies. Sometimes I think it'd be easier if we could fight this war physically. I feel that way sometimes. If I could just grab a hold of whatever it is I'm struggling with and just overpower it. But we can't, not physically. But it is a war that rages in our spirit and does affect our physical, our carnality. Let's turn to Romans 7. We see Paul here talking about this struggle. Romans 7:7-24. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law, for I had not known lust, except the law had said, Thou shalt not covet. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence, for without the law sin was dead. For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived, and I died. And the commandment which was ordained to life I found to be unto death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just, and good. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that I do. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law, that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? In time past, I have had a hard time following this passage, and it's not until you get into the heat of the battle that this makes more sense. I'm sure we can all relate. Knowing what we should do, knowing the cry of, or the call of the Holy Spirit, and struggling to do that which we know we should do because of our carnality. How many times have you echoed his cry there in verse 24? O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Do we war in our members? The temptation, the struggle, that is not sin. The giving in is sin. And God does not hold us in derision for this struggle. I want to look at two more examples in the Bible of men struggling with this warring in their members. I want to look at David. We know David made some horrible mistakes. In Acts 13:22, we read, And when he had removed him, Saul, speaking of God removing Saul, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. David, a man after God's own heart. David saw a woman bathing on a rooftop. The outcome of that was adultery and murder, lies, other sins that go along with that. David said in Psalm 51, verse 5, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." David was a man. Would any of the rest of us have responded any better than he did? We think we would. We see David wrestling with failure, wrestling with the fact that he was conceived in sin. He didn't, at least we don't read, that he went anywhere and told anyone, "I'm struggling. I'm tempted." Maybe he could have found help. We do see his attitude of repentance. I want to read Psalm 51. This psalm is a precious psalm to us. We read it a lot. Those of us that have been living for God and failed can relate to his heart cry here. We see an attitude of openness and brokenness, repentance. David lost the battle, but through openness and repentance, he gained forgiveness from God and victory. Psalm 51. "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. According unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offering and whole burnt offering. Then shall they offer bullocks upon thine altar." A broken and contrite spirit. Openness. Vulnerability. The jars that hid the lamps with Gideon and his men they hid the light. The light didn't shine forth until they were broken. Jesus wrestled with his humanity as well. Turn to Luke 22. Read verses 41 to 46. "And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. And his sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he rose up from prayer and was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow. And he said unto them, Why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation." You can read in the other Gospels that Jesus asked them to come pray with him. One of the battles of the ages fought right here in this passage. Jesus in his humanity begging that he not have to go through with it. Struggling. I've never struggled so hard that I had sweat as it were great drops of blood I wonder if he looked into the future and saw that he was going to go carry the weight, the sins of the world on his shoulders, knowing that many people would despise that work, despise that sacrifice. Do you think that's what made the struggle hard? Do you think he hesitated before asking his disciples to pray with him? After all, admitting he, the master, the teacher, the healer, admitting that he was struggling, do you think he was afraid that would hurt his image, hinder his work? Can you relate this morning to fighting a battle, a struggle? How real is this war? Are we living too much of our life in a formality? We've been raised this way. We've been taught these things. And so we do them. Brother asks us, how are you doing? Fine. Are we? You remember the day you gave your heart to the Lord? I think back to that night. Finally saying, okay, God, I'll do it. I'll be yours. Praying with my parents. Asking God, come into my heart. Make me a new creature. And God answering that. In the days following, that peace and that joy, the newness of life, resisting temptations with ease, because when Christ is in your heart, that is what you do. You resist temptations. What about your first failure? Remember the first time you chose to sin? The guilt, pain, the agony, I let God down, tears of regret, and then again, peace. The battle was real. What has happened since then? Has the war become less real? If you're like me, life happened. New things get old with time. It's law of nature. The newness wears off, our guard goes down, we fail, we repent. Maybe we live in a pattern of this for years. We soothe ourselves with empty promises, quick prayers of repentance. Soon we're simply living life in we justify those little areas of failure, maybe our temper. Maybe our critical thinking, we justify them. We no longer cry out in repentance. After all, God knows that I want to do what's right. God can see my heart. He knows I'm human. I fail at times. He knows my heart. It's going to be okay. And Christianity becomes a formality. We forget that we are at war. A war with real consequences. A war for life or death. We continue living that way. We go to church. We go to Bible school. We develop relationships with other godly youth. And yet we have secrets and we have struggles. We're at war with our humanity. The things that we don't want to do, we do them. The things we know we want to do, we don't do them. We beg God to grant us the strength and grace to be victorious. all the while being careful to shield the struggle, make sure no one sees that struggle. And we are in that struggle alone, battling for our image instead of battling for God. Vulnerability is hard. Being vulnerable opens up the opportunity to get hurt. When was the last time you opened up, even with your spouse, about the deep struggles in your heart? It's been too long. I'm not talking about the petty struggles we have. Maybe we don't like something somebody said, or how somebody dressed, or something like that. But real needs. Areas of struggle in our life. Maybe I'm the only one here this morning that fails. No, I know that's not true, but we think that sometimes, and I think that's what makes us hide that battle. The devil convinces us that everyone else, I mean, look at them, they're not struggling. And so, we struggle with anger, we struggle with pride, we struggle with the temptations that come our way. Why? From little on up, we're taught to be quiet, self-sufficient, modest, all these things that are 500 years of Anabaptist culture has passed on to us. These are good things. Being quiet, self-sufficient, and modest, these are not bad things. But I think sometimes we are taught so hard to be the quiet in the land, to be self-sufficient, to be modest, to not draw attention to ourselves. We become more afraid of admitting to our brothers and sisters that we have struggles than we are to religious persecution. It's easy for me to admit to maybe a customer in my office, if we're on a spiritual discussion, it's easy for me to admit to them that I struggle, that I have failures. I'm scared to do it right here. Now, after all, if we admit that we have a struggle, we are vulnerable. Those walls have to come down. And we continue to battle, and we echo Paul, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death?" I've talked with friends who have walked away because of this. I'm sure you have too. It's all a show. It's not real. You know, I admitted that I failed and I got condemned for it. What stands in the way of open, transparent lives? Do we want transparency? I think we all long for it. I know we all long for openness and transparency. We want all our brothers, all our sisters to be open and vulnerable, but we're not willing to take that step ourselves. Let's look at Luke 14, a few verses here. Luke 14, 25 to 33. "And there went great multitudes with him, And he turned and said unto them, If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest haply, after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, This man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king, going to make war against another king, sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Have we counted the cost this morning? I know when I met with my parents and told them I want to serve God, I counted the cost that night and I determined to give it all. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Over the years, I pulled some of that all back. Do we know the cost? Do we have what it takes to forsake all? And are we willing to share with our brethren that some of that all is really hard to let go of sometimes? Let's look again at the war in our members. We have a carnality that is at war with our spirituality. Any of us that are alive here this morning can recognize that, I believe. We wake up every day with a fallen nature, still at war with what God has called us to. To forsake all means to forsake the things that war with our spirituality, to lay aside the weights that beset us so we can run, forsaking all of me, all of my pride, all of my self-will, all of my humanity, as was mentioned in Sunday school, hanging it on the cross and forsaking it. We're not called to hang our brothers on the cross this morning. We're called to hang ourselves on the cross. What is it that keeps us from being open and sharing our weaknesses? I think Marv's devotional this morning touched on some of those things. We do our best to live victoriously, all the while depriving ourselves of one of the key necessities to victory and growth. We're afraid to be vulnerable and open. And we blame our brothers and sisters for the lack of interest in our lives, for not seeing that I'm struggling. We blame them for that. And yet, we have done a really good job of hiding it from them. Our desire to appear perfect hampers our relationships. If our relationships always stay at a surface level because we're afraid to go deeper, then our relationships will never go deeper than the surface. It's only when we bring something into the light that we can clearly see how dirty it is. We must be open, vulnerable, and transparent in our relationships. Life isn't perfect. None of you here have found life to be perfect. Church life isn't perfect. I haven't found church life to be perfect. I found it to be very difficult at times. I've also found it to be a tremendous blessing at times. We aren't perfect. We are at war. I want to picture in our minds this morning soldiers on a war front, on a battlefront together. A barrage of bullets and shrapnel falling, hunkered down behind all the protection that is available. The enemy doing everything they can to destroy us. And yet, as happens at war, a bullet gets through and tears through your arm. And after the barrage has passed, everyone starts to look around, make sure everyone is okay. When you are asked if you're okay, you quickly wipe away the blood and assure everyone, you're fine. You're fine. No. How foolish. Of course we don't. Lifeblood is seeping out. In fact, as soon as we get hit, we cry out that we're hit, and help is there. That's what soldiers on the battlefront do. They help each other. They care for each other. They take care of the hurt and the sick because they need each other. They're not in it alone. They're in it there, shoulder to shoulder, with their fellow soldiers. This morning, we are at war. We're on the battlefront. The barrage is hitting us hard. Sometimes it feels like it gets harder every day. We have God, we have weapons, we have protection. Yet in our weakness, we at times get hit. We fail. We fall. We cover up the wound with some pride and we wrap it up tight with some self-will. And we slowly bleed to death. Why don't we cry out, brothers, I'm hit? Help will be there. Embracing weaknesses and imperfections does not mean accepting sin or mediocrity. Instead, when we have a clear vision of what we are against, what is at stake, and how weak we are on our own, we can face the dragon in the strength of a brotherhood. Together, we can push him back. One step at a time, we can be at war and win. Closing chapter, 1 Thessalonians 5. We're going to read down to verse 24. But of the times and seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light, and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep, as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together, and edify one another, even as also ye do. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you, and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit, despise not prophesyings. Prove all things, hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. And I want to read two more verses, actually. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with an holy kiss. The call to us in these verses is clear. We are not to walk in darkness. We're to walk together in the light. Openness, verse 4. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness. watchfulness. Verse 6. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Are we watching? Doing this together. Verse 11. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. How can we comfort each other if we don't share where we need to be comforted? How can we edify if we don't help our brothers know where we need edified? Vulnerability, verse 25. Brethren, pray for us. A while back, I got a message. I looked at the message. It was a very simple message. It said, I'm struggling. Pray for me. Condemnation did not well up in my heart, but gratitude for a brother. Verse 26. Love. Greet all the brethren with an holy kiss. The kiss of peace. We cannot be at enmity with someone that we love. We can have disagreements, and we can work through them. Can we grasp a vision today? We're at war. The souls of my children and your children, their destination can be affected at how we war today. We're at war. We want to be at war together.